I must have been in junior high, and we were sitting in a classroom. It was actually me and a whole bunch of other homeschoolers, and one of the mothers was teaching us a class on literature. And in this classroom, almost like any junior story I tell you, there was this girl sitting there that, you know, sort of made my heart beat a little bit harder when she was around. You know how that is. It must have been one of those people I was fascinated for about 2 weeks and then it was over with. Anyway. And so we had this time, the teacher wanted us to do some free writing, some free essays and stuff like that. And I don't remember exactly all what we had to write about. All I remember is that there was something about a potato that I had to write about. I can't remember what it was. It's not clear. All I remember is the word potato had to be in it. And the reason why I remember the word potato so much is because I didn't know how to spell it. And so I was a little embarrassed about this because I probably should have known how to spell potato, but I didn't know. And so I lean over to my friend next to me, and I whisper very, very quietly, how do you spell potato? And he goes, what? You don't know how to spell potato? And everybody in the classroom, unfortunately, even this girl that I like, turns her head, stares at me. And at that moment, of course, what's the one thing I want to happen? Like, I just want to disappear. I want to be all alone where no one can see me. I just want to be out of that moment. I just want to be alone where no one else is around. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter chapter 26. This is a story of Jesus at Gethsemane. Like, he's in the park right before the people come to take him into custody before his death. Now, the truth is, there are times when we want to be alone. There are times when we don't want anyone around us, whether it's embarrassment or whatever. But there's also another side to that. There are times when we want someone there next to us. Right, there are moments when we're experiencing that we want someone by our side. And this is one of those moments. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. But he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Those words, first of all, don't do justice. Like in the Greek, there's some deep anguish and pain that this talks about. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Now the word watch, literally it means stay awake. Stay here and stay awake with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face in the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me? Could you men not stay awake with me for 1 hour? I know what it's like to be like the disciples. You know, as a pastor, I'm often called upon just to be there in someone's time of need. People sometimes just need you there, whether it's a hard time, they need you to listen, or maybe someone's in the hospital and they just want you to sit there and they just want you there. I know what that's like. And I know what it's like to be like the disciples and in a sense fall asleep. I mean, there's one time in particular I know of where someone really needed me, right? Where they really needed someone just to keep watch, to a companion, someone just to stand there during a difficult time and I wasn't there. And it's almost as you realize when you realize the pain afterwards that you weren't there, the there's a pain there that I don't know if you, there's a pain there. I mean, maybe you found yourself in that place where you've fallen asleep, where you haven't kept watch. But I also know what it's like, in a sense, in Jesus' shoes, where he wanted someone just to be there. You know, I'm not going to go through my whole ordeal that I talked about last week about my 2 weeks in the hospital, my appendix, and my surgery. I'm not going to go through that again. But there were some times, you know, even though I had a lot of people visit, there were some times where you're alone in there, right? Whether it's in the early mornings or just the time where you just, or I just really wanted, I just, it's like I needed someone there by my side. I remember when when I was in the hospital after 2 days with my parents, when they called me and they told me they were coming up to visit me, I remember thinking when they said they're going to come up from California to visit me, I remember thinking, why in the world would you do that, right? Why in the world would you come up? See, I would, you know, if I put on my father hat and thought about myself, I probably would have understood, but I'm like, why? I've already had my surgery. I mean, I'm getting better. Why would you want to come up and visit? I didn't understand why. But when they arrived and when they were there, it's like I realized how badly I needed them on my side. How grateful I was for them there. And whenever all the times my wife came up, right? Even though she brought Jonah sometimes and there was all her tethers running around, I realized how badly I just needed someone to keep watch with me, to stay. I just needed someone there by my side. And there's a difference for those of you guys who understand, there's a difference being alone and having someone there by your side. One of the hardest things for me being in the hospital was that I felt guilty. I felt guilty that I'm in the hospital, my wife was at home with all these kids. Two kids. You know, for you guys who had more than two kids, you're like, it's no big deal, but think back when you just had two, right? And how chaotic it was at the beginning. And I remember thinking, my wife has these kids, and I wish I could be there to help her out. Because I know she gets tired. I know there's a lot that goes on. And I felt guilty. But the next thing I know, Bobby and Esther and Donna go over, and they help us to clean the house. Bobby watches, volunteers to watch Jonah, so Jessica and Rachel could come up and be with him. Like Johnny volunteers, says, anytime you come up in the hospital, just bring Jonah to my house if you need someone to leave him. And just leave him there. Leave him at my house and go up with Jake. And then Bobby gets people to bring food, and you sign up to bring me food, and my wife food. And you bring it to her even though I'm not home yet, and you say, you take care of her, and you're doing everything that I wish I could do for my wife. You know, it's like I had, you were standing there with me, right? You were keeping watch with me. Even though I never asked, you were there. And you came up, you visited, you sent me cards. Some of you prayed like you were breathing, right? Constant. I was not alone. I was not alone. You were there keeping watch with me. You were there staying awake with my family. I don't know about you, but through this whole experience, I have a deeper love for you than I ever have. Right? Through those experiences, the hard experiences that come, and when a community comes together in love like that, to look at you, there's something that grows deeper, right? A bond of friendship that is stronger. You were there. I was not alone. You know, I'm not saying that I had the worst experience in the world. I was in the hospital. hospital lying down with a appendix. I know that people here have had worse experiences. I know people here are struggling. You're struggling with yourself. There are hardships. I know there are hardships you're facing. And you know what? Some of you feel so alone. You know, some of you feel like there's no one there by your side. There's no one there standing by you. No one understands. And you're still alone. For those of you who are going through an experience and you have someone there who stands with you, you know what a difference it is, what a blessing it is to have a pillar like that next to you. But maybe some of you don't have it. Jesus had to come and he had to ask his disciples, come with me. I need you. I need you to stand with me. If you're alone, you know what? You shouldn't be alone. Because we're the body of Christ here. If you're alone and you feel like you're struggling, you need someone to stand with you, whether it's just to listen, someone just to go with you to a place, to their appointment, if you need that, you've got to ask for that. Because sometimes we don't see it. Because you shouldn't have to deal with things like this alone. God has created us and as a body. Right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 12, he says, in verse 26, it says, if one part of the body, right, if one of us suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part is honored with it. You don't have to be alone. You know, maybe you're at a point where you don't want the companionship. Maybe you're at the point where you're like, that's foolishness, that's emotional garbage. I don't need that right now. Okay, that's okay. But if there's going to come to a point where maybe you hit rock bottom, you'll need someone there. And that's why we're here, right? That's why we're here as the body of Christ. To stand with someone in hardship, to keep watch with them. Now, I knew this family when I was growing up. It was a military family. And you walk into the house, and I swear you feel like you're walking into some sort of base. Everything's nice and neat, as you can imagine, right? And the kids, there's about five of them, they can only address their parents as sir and ma'am, that's it. Very strict. And I remember walking into this house of, and one of them was my friend, my brother's friends actually. I remember walking into this house, just feeling so sterile, right? First of all, so clean. Didn't play out. And there wasn't much affection, right? It was just sort of, it's very sterile, very cold. I'm not doubting that the parents didn't love the kids or the kids didn't love the parents. It's just, for me and my culture, it just seems so cold. And I'm like, if you can't show affection or if you can't call your parents mom or dad, I mean, there's something missing there, right? There's a sense of affection and love missing. You know, we have here, we're at church. Well, I mean, we are a church, we're people, but we're in a building that we call church. We have morning services, right? We have a pastor, we sing songs, we come together for Bible studies and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We have different programs. We have WCG, we have a camp, a state camp meeting we're going to, we have Faith Promise. We have a church and we have a lot of activities and there's a lot of things we do. But do you know what? There are points and times where none of that really matters. Right? If there's not a community that will come together for you in your time of need, that loves you like that, and it's like none of it matters. And Paul writes in Corinthians 13, you guys probably know this by heart. He says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. If we as a church cannot stand with someone as they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if we cannot keep watch with someone as they fight the flames of hell in their own life, we're nothing. And I thank God that at the core of this group, of what we have here, is a group that loves, is a community that knows and values and is willing to stand with each other during hardship. I thank God that we value what is true and what is best, and that is each other, and we have the love of Christ in us that we give for one another. I praise God. I praise God that we're not wasting our time with Sunday morning services because we're empty with love. I praise God that we're filled. I am forever grateful to you. You have reached down through the love of Christ and you've touched my life and my heart. I have seen and experienced how you love, and it is moving. You can make an incredible difference world just by that. You have already made an incredible difference in me, and I'm sure many other people I don't even know. But you, we can do so much with the love that you have.